الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، سلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us the tawfiq to spend the month of Ramadan in keeping fasting in the day and making our Taraweeh prayer in the night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called this month Shahrun Azeem, a great month. Then he called this month Shahru Sabr. This is the month of patience, that one learns how to keep patience in this month. And he named this month Shahrul Mawasat, that this is the month of sympathy. So all these three names, they point to the same point. That is, it's a great month, one should learn how to keep patience, and he should be sympathetic with the other human beings, with his fellow members of the society. He should become a good member. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he defined that who is a Muslim. He said, Al-Muslimu من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. That a Muslim is he, from his tongue and hands, the other Muslims, they remain in peace. It means that he does not hurt other people from his hands and from his tongue. Now, this is very short sentence. But in this sentence, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he just gave a brief definition of a Muslim. That if we want to know that anyone is a true Muslim, just look at him and look at the meaning of this sentence. If he complies with the definition, it means he is a good Muslim. And it's so simple to understand that the Muslim is a person from his tongue and from his hands, the other Muslims, they remain in peace. He does not hurt other people. Now, two things have been mentioned. There are many organs of the body, but most of them, they are just used for the actions. But two of them, they are mostly used in hurting other people. One of them is tongue, and other one is the hands. Now out of these two, if we compare them, then we hurt other people mostly with our tongue. Number one, that you get lot of opportunities to hurt other people with your tongue. But you cannot get so many opportunities to hurt those people with your hands. Because with your hands, you need to be present with those people. But with the tongue, even if the person is absent, you can say the words, and when these words will be narrated to this person, he will be really hurt. And moreover, you can give pain to other person with your hands if the person is alive. And if he is dead, then you cannot give him pain with your hands. But with the tongue, even you can give pain to the people who have already expired. If you say something bad about them, you are going to hurt them. And moreover, that if you give wound with your hands, still it can be cured. But if you give wound with your tongue, it can have no cure at all. So that's why the tongue is used first. Millisanihi wa yadehi. And the hands have been mentioned afterwards. Now how we hurt other people? Let us give few minutes to ponder on that. Number one, sometimes we hurt our parents. They are so respected figures. They brought us up. They are our caretakers. They are our parents. We should take dua from them. But sometimes these young people, they hurt their parents. They don't listen to them. If look at the child, he does not want to listen to the father. Father tells him, you should study in the school, study in the madrasa, but he does not want to study. He tells him, don't mix with the bad friends. He is not willing to leave the bad friends. He tells him, you should not watch TV so much, but he is never going to leave that habit. So he does not listen to his parents. Look at the girl. She is not going to listen to the mom. Mom tells us, you should not be busy on the phone. It's not good. But she is not going to listen. She sometimes has dialogue with the mom. She talks in front of the mom. And she sometimes hurts the mom. And this is those loved ones who were respected figures, and in spite of giving them love, we are hurting them. There was a Sahabi, Al-Qamar radiallahu ta'ala, a young person. He got sick and was just to die. But for 2-3 days, he was just in last moments, but he could not die. Someone narrated to Rasulullah that he is in this situation. So Rasulullah, he came to that place and then he asked the people, do you know something special about him? He was told that he was rude to the mom and the mom is angry to him. So Rasulullah talked to the mother and said, please forgive him. She said, no, I am so unhappy, I am not going to forgive this person. So then Rasulullah ordered the Sahaba, go and bring the wood, pieces of wood. Then she asked, why? He said that I am going to put fire on and then I am to put Al-Qamar inside. Oh, you are going to put my son in the fire? Yes, because if we will not forgive him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put him in the fire of hell. So mom was mom after all. When she found that Rasulullah is serious, she said, oh Rasulullah, okay, I am going to forgive him. So when she forgave him, within next few moments, Al-Qamar radiallahu anhu, he recited the kalma and he expired easily. So look at this. If we hurt our parents, at the time of death, it can be difficult for us to recite kalima. Number two, sometimes we hurt our family, our wife, our children. Now Rasulullah, he said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ, that the best of you is the person who is best for the family members. So we should stay with our wives nicely and behave nicely. But sometimes what we do, we misbehave with them. We hurt them on small, small things. We are always critically talking to them. This is not good. This is not good. On small, small things, we are always shouting in on them. We are telling them, I'm not happy. And some of the husbands, they stop talking on very small, small things. They don't listen to their wife. She is asking forgiveness. She is asking again and again, please, I am sorry, please forgive me. And he does not speak to him.
He doesn't even look towards her face. Why? He is hurting her. It's not such a big mistake that you stop talking with your family. But we do like that. And then, sometimes we blame them for the things which they have no control on. For example, a husband is angry with the wife. She always gives birth to the baby daughter. Now she has not a control on that. It's not her choice. If you go to the doctor, maybe the doctor will blame you. That it is some medical shortcoming in your body. But normally what we do? We blame our wives. She always gives birth to the baby daughter. So it is something which is beyond her control. And sometimes on small things, even the husband, he is always threatening, I will divorce you. Now on small things, if she could not prepare the food at time, this is not such thing that we threaten, I will divorce you. Now this word is very easy to say, but this word then hurts the other person. She becomes confused, whether I am going to live in this house for my life or I am just here for a few days. So we treat with them as if they have no value. And she is our wife. She is our life partner. And Rasulullah, when he passed away from this world, the last thing what he told in the last moment, that behave nicely with your women. Now this is the advice of Rasulullah. And look at us, what we are doing. Then Rasulullah, he said that if you have to live with your wives, then forgive their small mistakes because they have a relationship of love with you. Sometimes they can make mistakes. They can over expect you. Or due to love, they can make a bad judgment and say something which you do not like. But be humble. Be patient. Don't misbehave them. Rasulullah, he used to take care of the wives. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrated that once I was sleeping on my bed and Rasulullah was also sleeping on the same bed and he wanted to get up for tahajjud. So I was seeing that Rasulullah moved so calm and quiet, so softly. I said, what Rasulullah is doing? So he moved very softly, softly until he went away from the bed. And then he walked so softly so that there should not be any noise. And he opened the door so that there should not be any noise. And he went out. She said, I started thinking, why Rasulullah did like that? So I got up. Then I followed him. So he went to Jannat-e-Baqi and there he made dua and he came back. So I came back on my bed before him. So when he came back, I asked him, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why you did like that? He replied, Aisha, you were sleeping and I never wanted to disturb you. This is the action of Rasulullah. He never wanted to disturb the sleep of the wife. And we disturb the life of the wife. On small things. This is our behavior. And we feel that we are very good Muslims. We do not even comply with the definition of the Muslims. And sometimes, to our children, we are very hard. Instead of giving them word of advice, telling them nicely what a child should be, we are always very hard on them. We start shouting in them, you did this, why? We tell our son, I will expel you away from my house, and we are dead. So does the child expect from his father that on small thing my father will be so much mad on me? So it means that we do not behave nicely with our own family members. This is second point. Then the third point is that we should behave nicely with our neighbors. So number one, parents, and number two, our own family members, wife, children, brothers, sisters. And number three is our neighbors. Because in one of the hadith it has been mentioned, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fala yu'zi jarahu. That whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment, he should not give pain to his neighbor. So important that we should not give pain to our neighbor. But what we do? We ignore them. We hurt them. Once a person, he was passing just in front of Rasulullah. So he asked someone, what do you feel about that? What type of gentleman this is? Someone said, he is very pious. He is very muttaqi. He is so good. But the neighbors are not happy with him. Then Rasulullah said that I feel he is going to the hell. And then another person was passing by. He asked about him, what do you feel about this person? They said, he is not so much pious and he does not make so much ibadat. Normal person, but he is very well behaved person and the neighbors are very happy from him. Rasulullah, he replied, I can feel he is going towards the paradise. Look at the importance. How nice we should be with our neighbors. Then, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell one person, oh, I was hungry, you never asked me to eat food. I was thirsty, you never fed me water. I was sick, you never came to ask me how are I. Then the person will be he will be shocked. Allah, you cannot be thirsty and hungry and you are speaking about that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply, yes, on this and this day your neighbor was hungry. If you could feed him food, it was as good as you fed me food on that day. If you fed him water, it was as good as you served me water on that day. Then the person will realize how nicely we should stay with our neighbors. Then the fourth point, that we should be nice with our subordinates. If we are a businessman, we are industrialist, we are agriculturist, and so many people, they work with us. They are responsible to us. We pay them. So what Shariat expects? That we should behave nicely with these people. We should not be cruel to them. We should not be too hard for them. Because they are human beings. And that's why it's a hadith that Allah, مَنْ ظَلَمَ مُعَاهِدًا أَوْ إِنْتَقَصَهُ أَوْ كَلَّفَهُ فَوْقَ طَاقَتِهِ. Allah Akbar Kabira. Rasulullah, he mentioned about those people who are responsible to us, that we should not put load on their shoulder what is beyond their own capacity. We cannot put load on them what is beyond their capacity. And we should not take from them cruelly. And he said, فَأَنَا حَجِيجُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. If you will do that, then I will be the judge on the day of judgment, and I will be there, and I will take virtues from you and give to them because you have not fulfilled their right. So Rasulullah is saying that I will be their attorney on the day of judgment. Attorney of the people who are weak, who are poor, who are responsible to us, and we ignore these people. And our Prophet ﷺ is saying, I will be attorney of these people on the day of judgment against you, if you will not be at justice with them. So it means that we should take care of them. Then the fifth point is that we should not hurt any Muslim. He is not our neighbor. He is not responsible to us. He is just a Muslim. Still, we should not hurt any person. That's why Rasulullah said, "Kullul Muslim ala al-Muslim haramun damuhu wa maluhu wa irzuhu." That the blood, the wealth, and the honor of every Muslim is haram for the other one. We cannot do something bad with him, with physically, with his wealth, and we cannot dishonor him. So we have to take care of every Muslim. And that's why Rasulullah, he said that if you come to the masjid, then come in the clean clothes. Your clothes should not be bad smelling, and you should not eat anything which is bad smelling, like fresh onion. If you eat it, then from your mouth you have bad smell. And he said that by eating these fresh onion, you must not come in the masjid, because if you will bad smell, you can give pain to some person who is sitting beside you. Allahu Akbar Kabira. We should take care of these things. He said, go in your house. You can pray alone. If you want to come in the masjid, come with clean clothes, and you should not hurt other people with your ugly clothes. So we have to take care. And then in one of the hadith, Rasulullah he said that you people should clean the front of your house. If you have door on your front, then the area which is near your front door, it's your responsibility to clean it. Why? Because the Muslim will pass, and if your place will be dirty, you are going to hurt those people. Allahu Akbar. Have you ever thought about this? Then Rasulullah said that if you are walking on a way and you find something which can be dangerous for others, which can hurt others, then if you take that thing away, then taking that thing away will give you 10 virtues in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imatatul adha anit tariq. You find stone, you just push the stone on one side. Just pushing that small piece of stone on one side, you are going to take 10 virtues. Why? Because this stone can hurt some other person. So we have to take care of these small things. Then, on sixth place, we should not hurt any human being, no matter he is a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Sharia expects us, we should be such a good member of the society, we should respect the human being. And we should not hurt anyone. And our mashayikh, they used to take care of that. They never wanted to hurt any person. Allah. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Madni Rahmatullah, once he had a guest, and he was a Muslim alim. But that guest, he was accompanied with a Hindu. And he told, Hazrat, he is living near my house, and he wanted to come to this place, and he accompanied me, but he is not a Muslim. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Madinah, he replied, no problem. So he fed them food and behaved nicely, and then gave them bed to sleep. Now this alim narrates that when in night I got up, I saw that this Hindu guest is sleeping and Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayh, he is just making khidmat of this person. Massage on the feet of this Hindu. I got up. I said, Hazrat, you are making massage of this person. He said, yes, although he is a kafir, but he is my guest. I have to take care of him. This is the definition of the Muslim. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. That a Muslim is he who takes care, who does not hurt other Muslim with his tongue and with his hand. And the seventh point is that a Muslim should not even hurt the animal, livestock. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah, he wrote a book, Hukukul Baha'im, Rights of the Livestock in Islam. So we have to take care of the livestock. Allahu Akbar. A Muslim is he. And then you can find so many incidences. One small incident, that one person, he went to buy some clothes from the shop. When he returned back, he was showing the clothes to his wife, and suddenly he said, oh, let me go back to the shop again. Wife said, why you are going back? He said, you can see this aunt I saw, she was in the shop and she just stuck to my clothes. And now she is separated from the family. Let me go back to the shop so that I can put her there and she should be with her family. And Allahu Akbar. So this is the definition of a Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq on this auspicious occasion of Eid, that we should be so nice with everyone, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be merciful on us, and we should be a good member of the society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our mistakes and accept our fasting and tarawih and everything. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.